It's always nice to give gifts and it's nice to receive gifts. But when it comes to farming and farm operations, you better be careful. You better make sure you're doing it right. Bridget Finke joins us once again with Valley Crossing Law Offices in the Baldwin area. And Bridget, gifting. We can take it off our taxes. We can figure it. But how do we do it right? Because, again, everybody's got an idea what a gift is worth. And it might not, if it's not cash, then it's kind of a nebulous number, isn't it?
Well, it's why we need documentation of what values are. And so it's a pretty common technique in long-term transition planning for instance, parents to give a portion of the ownership of the farm over time. Mm-hmm. And when we've used business entities to do that, a lot of time we're not given four cows or one piece of equipment. We're giving a certain number of shares of stock in the family corporation or ownership interest in an LLC. And so when we're making that gift, the IRS is interested in how much we're giving. And people tend to be familiar with the free amount that people will say, how much you can give away each year. And a lot of times it's framed as, you know, legally I can give X amount.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're referring to there is the annual exclusion amount. And that's the number that each person can give as many people as they want in a year without having to report the gift for gift tax purposes or use up any of their lifetime exclusion number, which right now is over that $5 million. And so that magic number right now is $14,000.
And that doesn't matter whether it's cash or something in kind value, $14,000 is the magic number.
Correct. And obviously, if you're writing a check, that $14,000 is pretty easy to figure out.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about, you know, 100 shares in Bob Johnson's family farm, that can be a little more complicated. And so having a valuation of that business on an annual basis, if we're doing annual gifts, is important to be able to value that gift and make sure that if you are just trying to utilize that $14,000 exemption, that you really are staying under that number. And sometimes I see people have had, you know, appraisals done, for instance, 3 years ago for bank financing. Mm-hmm. And now we're, you know, 3 years, maybe going on 4 years down the road, and we're using that same number of the value of the farm. And that starts to get dangerous from the IRS's perspective because, obviously, the value of the farm changes over time, both up and down.
Mm-hmm. When we start this, I'm thinking of putting together our estate plan or our transition plan, whatever it is. And, you know, you start at 60 because, well, we didn't know if the kids were really going to come back to the farm. That $14,000 a year, if you're 60... 10, 20 years, that's not a lot of money when you compare that to what the value of these farms and the value of land is nowadays.
Sure. Now, keep in mind that's per person.
Right.
So if it's mom and dad, now that's $28,000 each year. And if we include the child's spouse as well, now we've just doubled that again to $56,000. But still, if you're talking a $10 million farm, you're right, $56,000 mm-hmm. is a drop in the bucket in the overall scheme of things. And so sometimes we strategically do go over that $14,000 amount and use up some of that $5 plus million in a lifetime so that we've gotten that portion out. And so to the extent that's going to go up in value down the line, that increase in value is going to happen in the next generation rather than in mom and dad's estate.
Can this be prorated over time? In other words, if we'd miscalculate and make it $20,000 this year, can we back it off to $8,000 the next year, or can we not do those?
See, they accuse the lawyers of looking for the loopholes, but here's Bob Bosold looking for that loophole. No, it's each year individually. And so if you're at $20,000 that year, you're going to need to report that and mm-hmm. use up $6,000 of your lifetime exemption amount. And it's also a use it and you lose it. So you can't say, well, geez, I haven't done it for the last 3 years. So let me do, you know, 14 times 1, 2, 3, 4, and let's all do it at once. each calendar year is viewed completely separate, which is why the holidays are never fun in my world.
Yeah, that's for sure. Are there some restrictions on how we can use this gifting for what purposes?
No. Gift is the gift, and you can do that. But I will say one common misconception. So all of this we've been talking about has to do with the IRS and the gift tax.
Right.
There's a whole other land where we get concerned about gifting, and that's if someone goes to a nursing home and we're asking the government to pay for our long-term care. And in that instance, any gift, regardless of whether you stayed under that $14,000, can come back to haunt you for a period of 5 years. So if you've made that gift and you go to the nursing home within 5 years, you are going to be penalized for making a divestment and giving up those assets. So a lot of times people think, oh, geez, you know, mom's starting to not do so well. Well, she can write those $14,000 gifts to everybody and, you know, so we can get that protected.
But
two different schemes.
If she goes to the nursing home in 4 years, the government could come back to get those $14,000 gifts.
Well, it's they will essentially count it as though mom still had that money and say when you've otherwise qualified based on what you have now, we would pay, but you gave away assets that you should have had in your pot, and so we're going to count that against you. So it's not that they come back chasing against the kids, but it's mom and dad that get put in the hard spot of, hey, we're out of money, but we also can't get the government to pay for the care. So it's always mom and dad who are taking the risk. So it's not uncommon that, you know, that generation coming in is, you know, pushing, hey, you got to transfer, you got to sign over the house, you got to do this stuff. But it's ultimately mom and dad who will end up holding the bag if something goes wrong.
So what can the government then come and get? If we own the farm and we've done all this gifting, they can't take the house away. But can they take land? Can they take tractors? Can they take cattle?
It's not that they take anything. It's that they say, we're not paying your nursing home bill. You figure it out. So it's, you know, there's sort of this perception that either the nursing home people or the government is coming and clubbing people over the head and, you know, taking their farm. And it's not the case. It's, you know, this is a bill to be paid like any other bill that we have. Mm-hmm. And either you need to pay it out of your checkbook, you need to have insurance to help pay the bill, or you're asking the government to pay the bill. And when you ask the government to pay, you get the government strings. And so there are asset and income thresholds that you have to be under for the government to pay for that care.
Wow. So you better make sure you understand what the gifting situation is all about. I know I learned something this morning, that's for sure. Bridget Finke with us at Valley Crossing Law in Baldwin. Bridget, how do they get a hold of you?
715-688-4045 or check us out at valleycrossinglaw.com.
That's that simple. Bridget Finke with us once again this morning, Valley Crossing Law in Baldwin.